Volatility is coming. In today's show, you'll learn why it's bad news for investors. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. As stocks were slammed lower in early trading, only to recover most of their losses by the closing bell. Is that a sign of confidence by the markets? Or does that mean there's more pain to come? Stay tuned to the end, and you'll see that this story is only getting worse for investors, and this is really a sign of bad news. Let's pick this story up with Bloomberg, who headlines this morning, the stocks drop as inflation, rates, and virus stir the alarm. And stocks were on pace for their longest losing streak since September, as prospects for higher rates and inflation unsettled global markets. Some corporate warnings about negative impacts of Omicron coronavirus variant also soured sentiment. Markets are facing higher volatility as the pandemic liquidity that has pushed equities to record high is withdrawn. And of course, we're going to challenge this statement a bit because it's not all about the Fed. And that's the point of today's show of why things are going to get worse. But let's keep going and see what Bloomberg has to say, because the Federal Reserve will likely raise rates four times this year and will start its balance sheet runoff process in July, if not earlier, according to Goldman Sachs Group. A key measure of U.S. inflation set to be released on Wednesday is anticipated to have increased further in December, putting additional pressure on the central bank to tighten policy. And the question then becomes does this actually lead to increased volatility? Is the article right? When the Fed does raise rates, is that really that bad? Well, let's take a look, because here's a chart of the federal funds rate and the volatility, or VIX index. And you can see that when federal funds rate rises here back in the mid-90s, well, volatility didn't really go up until later. In fact, you're looking at the move higher in rates in 2005, so through 6 and 7, well, volatility went down, and then it spiked. And how about now we see in 2016, rates went up and volatility went down and then started to increase later. So what's the truth? Well, let's keep going, because the Fed effect on how S&P 500 performs in a Fed rate hike cycle says you should put all your money in tech stocks. And sure enough, people loaded up back up on the dip. And the fact that the Fed might be looking to tackle inflation head on and adopt an even more hawkish approach has caught the market a little bit off guard, says Fiona, a senior financial markets analyst at Citi Index. Quote, that's being reflective in those high growth tech stocks falling again. But you see the misinformation in the same article as, well, why are tech stocks down if that's where the returns are at when all this stuff happens by the Fed? Let's keep going and see where they go with this and if they're wrong. And we're going to shift over to the Wall Street Journal, because tech stocks tumble, extending last week's losses. The Dow falls more than 500 points. Rising bond yields show investors expect the Fed to move fast on rate hikes. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite index is down 1.9% in midday trading before it regained almost all of it. The benchmark last week posted its biggest one-week percentage decline since February, as rising bond yields punctured tech valuations. And surging yields have sent a shudder through tech stocks. By selling bonds and sending yields higher, investors are indicating they believe the Fed could raise short-term interest rates in March and begin to shrink its holdings of bonds and other assets soon afterwards. Low rates helped fuel a huge rally in tech stocks last year by making bonds less attractive and spurring investors to buy risky assets. Now again, risk-taking is a function of an investor's decision, and it should not be that of the Fed. But of course, it's easy to blame the Fed. But let's go back to this, because this is a more interesting insight coming, But the Fed has pivoted to fighting inflation, and tech stocks have lost some of their luster. The prospect of higher rates also reduces the value that investors see in future cash flows of fast-growing tech companies, hurting their share price. But is that the truth? What is the real reason this is a problem? Because what have tech companies been doing? I mean, they're money-making machines. And what have they been doing? They've been borrowing money at low interest rates and doing what? You already know the answer. Buying their stock back. So if rates go up, it means it's less attractive for these companies to buy their shares back. And that starts to be a problem. But I don't think that's all it is. But let's keep going and see where they go with this, because now Wall Street Journal then comes out with this article that the bond sell-off rattles markets. It's a bond rout, as a slide in bond prices has pushed the 10-year treasury yield to 1.769%, its highest since early 2020. And boy, that must mean things are really bad. And here we see rising interest rates can hurt stocks in several ways, and maybe is maybe we'll get the truth here from increasing corporate borrowing costs, well, that's true, to offering investors an alternative means of earning decent returns, also true. The impact tends to be larger on so-called growth stocks because investors deem uncertain future profits less valuable when they can get guaranteed income from treasuries. Now, there is some truth to that, for sure, but I don't know too many people that buy tech stocks for their dividends. But when stocks are overvalued and the prospects of slowing growth is on the horizon, well, what do investors do? They switch their risk. But let's keep going with this story because it looks like we're finally getting to an answer here, potentially. The higher yields also push up borrowing costs for consumers. They do, and that contracts credit. Highlighted last week by the average 30-year mortgage rate reaching nearly a two-year high at 3.22%. Wow. And rising yields aren't all that bad news. Well, perhaps they're not. On a short-term bonds, they reflect expectations for Fed rate increases. And that's key because we talked about this last week, that the two-year Treasury note is actually an excellent proxy for where the federal funds rate is going, and the two-year Treasury note tends to lead that. So it's telling you in the short term, in the foreseeable future, that inflation and growth expectations are rising. That's what it tells you. But what about the long view? What happens when you put on the binoculars? Well, that's where we look to the long-term bonds because they signal confidence that those rate increases won't cause a recession. Aha! And now we're getting to the truth, is that is what the long bond is trying to tell us. But there's a problem with this because what had happened last week? Investors went crazy and dumped bonds and then turned around and said, hey, but look, rates are rising. That means the chance of recession is going down. Well, if you do something that causes something else to happen, well, it's not interest rates rising because of growth and inflation expectations. It's rates rising because people are selling bonds hoping that the Fed will not trigger a recession. That's the big difference. They're hoping the Fed won't. But let's keep going here because shares of businesses in economically sensitive sectors such as banking, industrials, energy generally rose last week with S&P 500 financial gain 5.4%. Again, because people are hoping that the Fed's not going to trigger recession. And as a result, JP Morgan's Marko Kolonovic says, it's time to buy the dip in stocks. Timely today because they did. And he says, quote, the pullback in risk assets in reaction to the Fed minutes is arguably overdone. Kolonovic wrote in a note to his clients on Monday, quote, policy tightening is likely to be gradual and at a pace that risk assets should be able to handle and is occurring in an environment of strong cyclical recovery. And that is the issue here. That is what we're really trying to talk about is the economy actually recovering? Can the economy handle higher rates? Can investors handle it? Can consumers handle it? Can businesses handle it? And Kolonovic is saying, yeah. Well, Kolonovic, I think you're wrong. I'm going to prove it. Let's keep going because he goes on to say that while the prospect of higher interest rates creates pressure on expensive stocks, it won't derail the bull market. Well, it's derailing it now as the economy keeps expanding, Kolonovic says. In fact, he views the wave of Omicron variant of the coronavirus as a likely end to the pandemic, a development that would provide a boost to the economy in the second quarter, as if the problem is all about the coronavirus. And it's not. That's what everyone's missing. Kolonovic, I wish you'd watch the show because you're missing the big picture. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with consumers' ability to spend. Now, let's keep going with this because here's the story from Wall Street Journal that Americans' finances got stronger in the pandemic, confounding early fears. Stimulus payment brought millions out of poverty and it allowed them to clear debt, and households of all income levels built up savings. The stronger finances are expected to aid stability as normal spending and higher inflation return. And there you go. See, the market's looking at this and saying, hey, it's okay. You can handle, you the consumer, you can handle higher inflation. You can handle higher rates. But can they? I don't think so. The personal savings rate, a measure of how much money people have left over after spending taxes, hit a record 33.8% in April 2020, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The rate averaged just under 8% for the 2 years before the pandemic began. Well, here's a personal savings rate. It's down to 6.9%. And that article from the Wall Street Journal is not that old. So clearly, you're seeing that people are unable to save as much. And even worse, well, what's going to happen when higher prices kick in? Because this is a story we talked about last week of why higher energy prices will trigger a recession. And what this is what I want to show you is consumers are not in a position to handle this. And the stock market is starting to figure out that the bond market knew this all the way back in March. let's keep going, because check this out. Go back to early 1990s, and when the Bond King was going into high school, what happened? Energy prices went up, and look at real disposable personal income went down. People could afford less, and what happened? Recession. And here you see it in the early 2000s, that crude oil prices were rising. But notice the early rise in crude oil prices, the economy could handle it. And then it got up into the $30 per barrel, and that was enough to send real personal disposable income down, trigger recession. And how about in the mid-2000s, what do you see here? That real that crude oil got up almost about $70 or near $80 a barrel. And what happened? That took away from real personal disposable income. But guess what? Consumers were able to absorb it. Crude oil came down. It gave them some benefit. And they were still doing okay. And then oil went vertical, and you got a recession. And look what happened come into about 2013. Crude oil prices get up to about $100 per barrel. You can see over here to the right, and disposable personal income crashes, almost triggering a recession. Remember, in 2015, 2016, we almost had a massive recession, but luckily, oil prices came down, saved the day. But then they came back up into the $70 barrel in the late 2000s, and what happened? Real personal income started to fall, pandemic hits, boom, you get a recession, and now look, what happened? Real disposable personal income went negative here just last year, accrued at 60. It's telling you everything above 60, it's too tight, and that means the economy can't handle all this. And all. And Kalanovic, I gotta tell you, I know you're bullish on stocks, but the data says there's a reason we're seeing all this volatility, and it's not good for investors. I'm Steve Van Meter, thanks for watching, thanks for being fans. We'll see you soon. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor or other advice. It's not to be construed as recommendation or solicitation by our security financial instrument or to participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter in personal capacity. Business expressed this video that I do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.